to see everyone out tonight and braving the nice spring weather. Yes, finally. So we were riding in, and Emily goes, "Somebody told me today we're getting a snowstorm tomorrow." It's like, whatever. There's always those people. Just ignore them. You know, obviously they haven't had enough coffee. So tonight, if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19. So praying about what the Lord would have me to share tonight. And when Pastor told me about, asked me about preaching tonight, started praying about it and just reading through different passages of Scripture and everything, the Lord just kept bringing me back here. So wanted to just share some things with you tonight. So Acts chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 13 to 20. And so I'm just going to read down through those. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll just dig some things out of this passage. So Acts 19, verse 13 says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.' And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?' And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather here tonight. Thank you for this time together and this midweek service, Lord. Nice opportunity for us to just, again, come apart from the world and hopefully be able to leave the cares and the concerns, the worries and the stresses of work and life, just kind of set them aside for a few minutes and just focus on you and your word and your message for tonight. Father, I pray that you would use me tonight and just give me the words to say, and Lord, just touch our hearts. Father, challenge us in our walk with you. Challenge us in our relationship with you, and help us, Lord, to just grow a little bit closer to you tonight, Father. Lord, thank you for how wonderful your word is. Thank you for how accurate, right, and righteous, and perfect it is. Help us, Lord, to just learn from it tonight, and just touch our hearts this evening, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we stop for a moment and think about what's going on at this time, the Lord Jesus, of course, has ascended up into heaven, and the disciples are going out, and we're seeing churches getting established. This is certainly after Paul's conversion, and Paul has been doing some mighty things. And in fact, in these verses, if we go back up to verse number 11, it says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Now, when people started seeing power like this and started seeing these things happening, of course, there are always those counterfeits that want to try to mimic or imitate or get in on it and something like that, but really lacked the true power. Because in verse 11, it makes it very clear, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." It wasn't Paul that was doing it of his own accord. God was doing it through him. But we see in verse number 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews," and these were the wandering Jews, these were ones that weren't of any one particular city, they were just kind of traveling around, and they had a title for themselves, the exorcists. But we see here it says, "They took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.'" It took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. They weren't called to this. It wasn't power that was given to them by God. It was something that they took upon themselves to do. And so they were going to free these demon-possessed people. They were going to free them of these evil spirits. And certainly we see in Scripture that there were times that that happened. In fact, in verse number 15, the evil spirit itself said unto them, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? You know, it's interesting to stop and think about that, because compared to us, certainly these evil spirits are certainly way more powerful than we are, but they are certainly not more powerful than our God. And they certainly have to listen to our God, and they certainly have to obey our God. And it's interesting here that this evil spirit recognizes that. In fact, if we go back to Matthew chapter 8, we see a situation with Jesus himself. And in Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse number 28, Matthew 8 in verse number 28, it says, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go, and when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And we're not going to preach on this particular portion of Scripture, but it's interesting that in verses 28 and 29, as Jesus comes into this area, these two possessed of the devils, they see Jesus, they immediately know who he is, and they immediately are in fear. They're wondering what Jesus is going to do to them. Isn't it interesting that when man comes into contact with someone with an evil spirit, there's a terror, there's a trembling, there's a fear there. But when that evil spirit comes into the presence of Jesus, there's fear, but it's in the evil spirit. Because greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in you, if you're saved, than he that is in the world. And they know, you know, I mean, stop and think about this. You know, the creator of everything, including them, you know, their own creator, you know, certainly they're going to understand that he has the greater power. You know, in Acts chapter 16, if you turn over there, we have a situation with Paul himself. This one we just read, of course, was the Lord Jesus. But in Acts chapter 16, in verses 16 to 18, we find these words. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So we see Paul doing this. We certainly saw Jesus doing this. And so these incidents, these things, you know, of course, they're growing. The word of them, I don't want to use the word fame, but the stories of them are going out, and people are hearing these things. And so then we come here to verse in chapter 19, in verse 11, we have the verse here talking about how God wrought these special miracles at the hands of Paul and the things that were able to be done. And then in verse number 13, we are introduced to this group that is trying to do things and show that power, but they're doing it without the power of God. And we see here in verse number 14, it tells us who they were. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so, meaning that they were the chief of the Jews, the chief of the priests that did the exorcisms. It says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. We certainly know that in the scriptures we're told many times, Mark chapter 5, Luke chapter 9, and other places, that people with an evil spirit have great power and are able to do great feats, you know, show great feats of strength and such. And so the fact that this one man possessed of this devil was able to prevail against and literally just beat up these seven men is not hard for us to believe. We certainly could understand that and see that. And the account here is of that. Can you imagine these men, as they go into this place, and they're going to show the power that they themselves have put upon themselves, so to speak, and they command that evil spirit to come out. And the words out of that man's mouth are, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Now, can you think about that? Those seven men are standing there in their own pride, thinking, "We're going to do this," and that's the response they hear? I would imagine the whole atmosphere of that room changed dramatically in that moment. You know, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye?" And immediately that man jumped on them, and it says he leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now look at this in verse number 17. "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." If this happened and the evil spirit prevailed, why did the name of the Lord Jesus be magnified? Because they saw where the true power was. And it wasn't in the men, it was in God. And so when these ones that were trying to do this of their own power failed miserably, it gave more weight and more substance to that which the disciples and what Paul were doing. And it says here, "It was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes when the Lord has us face something or brings something into our lives that kind of shakes us up a little bit, it helps us to take inventory, so to speak. Is there some stuff in my life that I got to change? Is there some stuff in my life that I need to get right? You know, think about this. These guys, there were certain of the vagabond Jews. They were of this chief priest, and yet they lacked the power necessary. They didn't have what it took. They didn't have that power of God to do what they were trying to do. Wouldn't that cause you to stop and think, well, if they don't have it, have I got that power of God? Have I got, not necessarily to cast out devils, but do I have that relationship where I have that power, where it's in me, where it's real with me? You know, and so they, many believed and came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now watch this in verse 19. "Many of them also, which used curious arts," and of course we're dealing tonight with this topic and this theme of the evil spirits and the demonic things and stuff. "So they which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." Isn't it interesting and sometimes amazing what we will spend our money on? Yeah. Isn't it? Here these people were certainly engaging in a practice that they certainly should not have been, but they were dedicated enough to it that they were spending money, getting books, and learning how to do these things, and it was all evil. And when they came face to face with the fact that it was evil and they needed to do something about it, we see here that they confessed what they had done, they showed their deeds, they brought the books and they burned them, and we see here a phrase in verse 19, "before all men." I think this is important for us. You see, because the things that they were doing, the evil things that they were doing, the things that were not right before God, those things that they were trying to make happen, they were doing them publicly. So when they got right with God and wanted to be right with God and get these things out of their life, they got those things out of their life publicly as well. You know? Sometimes we do need to confess things, and we certainly, there's private things, and we bring it before the Lord and stuff, but sometimes there's sin that we have engaged in or that others have seen us engage in, that it actually takes a public testimony of going, "Hey, listen, I did do this. It was wrong. I've confessed it. The Lord's forgiven me. You know, sometimes we have to stand up and go, will you forgive me? Because I know that you saw me do this. I know that you saw that take place in my life, you know? Here we see that they're not hiding what they had done. They confessed it. They showed their deeds. They brought their books out. They burned them before all men. And then they even counted the price of it, that it was 50,000 pieces of silver. And then we see in verse number 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I think it's interesting that we find this word in verse number 16 when it says that the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. But yet in the end of this account, we find so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So, you know, this man with the evil spirit prevailed over these priests that didn't have any power in them at all. But yet, in the end, it was the word of God that really prevailed. And, you know, that word prevailed, Webster defines it, to overcome, to gain the victory. You know, that evil spirit, that man, he overcame those seven priests, those seven sons. But in the end, it was the word of God that prevailed over that. You know, and, you know, we see the power of God here, and we see how those that were trying to imitate it or try to put that power upon themselves, but without the true power of God, how they were certainly put in their place for it. But as I was reading through this and studying this, I got a couple thoughts that came to my mind and such. And I thought this in verse number 15, it says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? I got thinking about that. You know, when we're serious about our relationship with God, and we're growing in the Lord, and we're doing what we should be doing, and we're witnessing, and we're reading our Bible, and we're praying, and we've got a testimony and such, you know, we're a threat, so to speak, to the devil and to what he's trying to do. We're sharing the gospel. We're sharing what God's doing in our lives. We're sharing with people. We ourselves are growing. We're getting further from the world. We're getting further from the devil's influence. We're getting further from those things. And the devil is concerned. He's you know, we certainly he takes notice of those things. I had a teacher one time that would say it this way. He says, when you get saved and you get serious about your relationship with God, it's then that you become a blip on the devil's radar. It's then that you become a threat. And it's then that the heat gets turned up. It's then that the persecutions start coming. It's then that those things happen, because the devil wants to silence you. He wants to keep you quiet. He wants to keep you from growing. He wants to keep you from being a influence for God. And so I thought that, you know, does the devil know your name? Does he know who you are? Does he know that you're serious about your relationship with God? Does he look at you as a threat or simply as just a name dropper? He just once in a while just mention God in passing, maybe in the right crowd, you know, but not if it's going to mean some chuckles, not if it's going to mean some uneasiness. So, you know, is my relationship with God, is it real enough that people see it, that I live it, that it's part of me and not just something that I put on a couple of times during the week, you know? I put a couple of notes here in my Bible and thought this way, are we really in the battle or just hanging out with the troops? Are we really witnessing, reading our Bible, praying, and doing the things that is pleasing to God, or are we just putting on the show, putting on the look, making ourselves look a certain way or talk a certain way? You know, we could certainly fool each other, but we're not fooling God. And here in this situation, of course, their deeds were brought out. They were shown to be that they really didn't have the power of God on them, and their life, what they were trying to do was certainly made evident by what this man with the evil spirit did. But really, the end of this and the power that we see here is really the people that were starting to get into this and were dabbling with this. They confessed it. They got it right before God. They got the things that influenced them that way out of their lives. They burned them. They didn't think about the cost of it. You know, I thought about this one time a long time ago. I had quite a collection of movies, but they weren't movies. They were more... They were bad, but they weren't, they weren't like adult movies, stuff like that. It was more like scary movies, that kind of stuff, you know, and I had them from when I was a teenager and all that, and I had kept them. I just kept them in a box and stuff, and then finally one day I come across them and I found them, and I was like, man, I got to get rid of those. And I remember telling somebody that I was getting rid of them, and they said, are you going to put them in a yard sale? And I said, no, I'm not going to put them in a yard sale. If they're not right for me to have, they're not right for me to sell to somebody else, you know. And so we had a big bonfire, and I didn't do it for any, throw demonic things in the fire or anything. It's just, it was an easy way to get rid of them. So I burned them. But sometimes we think that, well, do you know how much money you've spent on that? Well, do you know how wrong it is? You know, we don't want to sell it and pass it off to somebody else, or, you know, throw it in the bottom of the Goodwill box and let somebody else get it or something like that. You know, if it's wrong, it's wrong. And whatever it costs, it doesn't matter. We get it rid of it. We get it out of our lives. And, you know, that's the thing about the Christian life, is we're growing in the Lord. There's things that may not at one time have been a big deal to us, but then as we're growing and we're becoming more Christ-like and we're getting more serious about our relationship with God, that Holy Spirit will teach us and show us things and bring things to our mind. And we're like, hey, you know what? There's another area that I need to clean up. There's something else that I never really paid attention to before. And then the responsibility is ours. We got to get that out of our lives, you know, because God is showing us something, and he wants us to become more Christ-like, and he wants us to have a closer walk with him. And so, you know, in our minds, we think, you know, do we ever get to that point where we stop having to clean things up and we stop having to grow and we stop having to, nope. We're going to keep growing. We're going to keep learning. We're going to keep cleaning. We're going to keep doing till we get to glory. You know, that's just the way it is. And you know, we're going to have setbacks, and we're going to have things that trip us up. And, you know, we confess it, and we get it right with God, and we grow from it, and we move on. And so that in our lives, we too can say, like in verse number 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We want the word of God to grow in our lives. We want our relationship with God to grow. We want his influence and the influence of the Holy Spirit and our relationship to prevail, to get the victory. We want to get the victory over the sin and our sin nature and such. And a lot of times that means cleaning some things up in our lives and getting some things out of our lives. So, you know, as we think about this tonight and this story, you know, certainly it's an amazing story and you know, to look at what had happened there, but to just give that some application in our own lives, you know, is our relationship with God what it should be? What are we doing? How are we working on it? Think back a year ago. You know, are you walking closer with the Lord today than you were a year ago? Are you seeing some progress in your lives? Are you seeing some things, or are you struggling? Maybe you've had some setbacks. Maybe you're struggling with some things, you know? Confess those things. Bring them before the Lord. If there's some stuff that God's been working on your heart to kind of clean up and get moved out, go ahead and do it, you know? And I'll tell you, I have never yet, myself included, met somebody that God had told them to clean something out of their life, and they said, boy, I sure regretted that. You know, it's always a good thing, you know? So if the Lord's been showing you some things and the Lord's been working on your heart and doing some things in your heart, take the actions necessary. Do what you need to do, because God's got greater things in store for you, and he's got a bigger plan for you than what you may think. And so just keep growing, keep doing, and keep working, and the Lord will reward you for it. And he'll certainly take care of you. He's not going to give you more than you can bear, that's for sure. All right, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word tonight and for this time in your word. Help us, Lord, in our walk with you. Help us, Father, to be mindful of the areas of our life where you're trying to clean things up and trying to get us to maybe make some changes. Father, change is never easy. We certainly don't like it. We like knowing where things are and the comforts of our ruts, so to speak. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with each of us, Father. And Lord, if there is someone here today that's been struggling with some things, I pray, Lord, they would just give that to you. And Lord, just allow you to do the cleaning necessary in their lives to bring them to a little bit better and a closer walk with you, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for just your long-suffering and just dealing with us as we go through this life, Lord. I just pray that you'd give us the strength we need for each day and just help us, Lord, to just bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.